I love that Vern texted me this morning, actually. And the only pictures I've seen of him are in him in a hammock on a beach. So I'm not sure what he's really doing. It's kind of sketchy. I spent this past week, a couple days. Can you hear me okay? Make sure the guys have the volume set. I spent the past couple of days at a gathering of the Reynolds Lead Academy, which is a learning cohort of about 20 senior pastors from around Western North Carolina. And we get together, we learn, we hear from key leaders in the church from around the U.S., and it's a great opportunity to learn. I've been in the program for about 2 years. It's been invaluable to me as a pastor. The past couple of days, we spent time with Kevin Myers. Now, Kevin is the senior pastor, the founding pastor of 12 Stone Church in Gwinnett County, Georgia, outside of Atlanta. Anybody been to 12 Stone? Nobody? You can go visit sometime when you're outside of that community. When they began their ministry together, he's the founding pastor, so church started 28 years ago. There were 80 people on Sunday. 80 people. They averaged 57 people for 7 years. 57 people for 7 years. This weekend, 12 Stone will have over 20,000 people in worship. It's amazing to me. I don't know what you do with 20,000 people except pray a lot. 20,000 people in worship. It's an amazing scale of ministry and growth. It's a fantastic story to learn about. I'm not suggesting Boone Methodist needs to be 12 Stone Church. That's not what this is about. They have their own unique calling in God's kingdom, and so do we. But there's something interesting about 12 Stone. When they got started, they had some metrics that they had to meet in order to be able to continue to be a church. I mean, you have to have a certain number of people just to keep the lights on, and so they had to kind of meet those goals. But they never set a numerical goal to be a church of 20,000 people. They never said, we want to be a church of 10,000. And then when they did that, well, we want to be a church of 20,000. And right now they're not saying, we want to be a church of 30,000 people. The way they became a congregation of 20,000 people, giving away millions of dollars a year, countless hours of service in their community, is by fearlessly and relentlessly and urgently focusing on one. One. They're obsessed with a number. And it's not 20,000. It's one. They believe, and they're unapologetic about this belief, that every one matters to God. That God longs for a relationship with every one of God's children, and that God longs to transform the life of every single person. That God wants to make every one new and whole in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so, fearlessly, passionately, they seek to be in ministry with every one. Which means for them, and this is really in part what I find most interesting about this, is that means there's never a numerical goal that when they reach that goal, they can say they've arrived. Right? Because there is always, always one more. One more. Jesus was concerned about the one. I mean, one lost sheep, one lost coin, one prodigal son. Throughout his ministry, he engaged with, broke bread with, had conversation with countless ones who he shared God's love and mercy with. And he calls us to do the same, to be urgently and fearlessly and passionately about the work of saying, everyone matters to God. It's one of our core values. Everyone, everywhere matters. I don't think it's by accident that I was at Hilton Head this past week, heard Kevin Myers, and was reminded of the importance of the one. So let's hear God's word from the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Luke. I'm going to be reading beginning at verse 1. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little way from the shore. And then he sat down and he taught the crowds from the boat. When they had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and they followed him. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for this day, for the gift of time and worship, the presence of friends, for my colleague Vern and his ministry away from us this day, and for all that you will do among us through your word. Help us to have ears to hear and willing spirits to live it out. In Christ's name, amen. I had a conversation with a young Wesleyan pastor once. He was trying to transfer into the United Methodist Church and become a United Methodist pastor. I was serving as a member of our conference transfer committee. We were listening to him tell his story. Kind of at the end of the conversation, I just, for fun, said, "So you're part of the Wesleyan denomination, and we're all kind of together a part of one big Wesleyan Methodist family. What is something that we United Methodists have forgotten or lost track of or no longer emphasize that you want to bring back to us and help us to recover?" And he thought for a moment, and he said that one thing he would help us or try to help us reclaim as a part of our Wesleyan faith is a faithful sense of urgency. Now, what he meant by that was not that he lived with some kind of "we got to get these people saved" mentality, but that there are hurting, broken, lost people all around us. And we should have the same sense of urgency in reaching out to them with the love of God that we see in our Lord Jesus Christ, who never missed an opportunity to say to each and every person he met, "You matter to God. You matter to God. Everyone, you matter to God." John Wesley, a proper Oxford-educated English clergyman, founder of the Methodist movement, was compelled to leave the comforts of the university, to leave behind an insistence, and he did one day insist, that all sermons must occur behind a proper pulpit. He thought preaching in the fields was vile. In his journals, he writes about it. He says, "I submitted to be more vile. I went outside and preached the gospel." Imagine that. He was compelled, filled with the Spirit, to go to the prisons and the coal mines and the fields to share the love of God with each and every one. He told the early Methodist preachers, "You have nothing to do but save souls." All around us. I mean, there are a lot of us in this room, but there are a lot more of us who are not here. All around us. Broken, hurting, lost, fragile, depressed, addicted, lonely people who matter to God. Each and every one of them. And we're being called by our Lord to leave the comforts of the shore to push into the deep, to let down the nets, and to share God's love. We have to care more about people than programs. Have to be willing to place our trust unwaveringly in Jesus. The good news is that Jesus got in the boat with Peter, which means hopefully he's in the boat with us. We're not alone. And the same power that Jesus pours out on his early disciples, he pours out on you and me. The very Holy Spirit that brought all creation into being, that landed on Jesus at his baptism, that raised him from the dead, that same Spirit is upon us to preach good news, to offer Christ, to let everyone know they matter to God. Today's text is Luke's version of the call of the first disciples. Simon Peter and his brothers, they've been fishing all day. They're worn out. They're tired. It was not a good day at work. Jesus is there. People are all over the shoreline. Crowds are gathering in around them. Jesus climbs into Simon's boat to try to get a better vantage point, maybe just to catch his breath, to get away from the crowds for a while. He teaches a bit away from the shore. And when he's done, he tells Simon, "Now let's row on out to the deeper water." It's been a long day, a hard day. And he's just worn out. His skin is leather from the sun. He's tired. He's frustrated. He wants to go home. And then Jesus does the unthinkable. He says, "Cast those nets back into the water." And Simon says, "We just brought these nets in. We just mended them. We just washed them. We'd folded them up. We were ready to put them away for the day." This is just not fun, Jesus. Griping, literally, he's griping in the text. "I'll do it if you say so." Cast the nets back into the sea, and they become so full of fish that they have to call the other boat out to help them to bring in the catch. And then both boats begin to sink. And Simon is guilt-ridden. "How could I not respond to this call? How could I hesitate? How could I be reluctant? How could I have been fearful?" "Do not be afraid, Simon. From now on, you'll be catching people." In Jesus, God has done a new and an amazing thing. Whatever distance there has been between us and God, God has overcome that for us. And Jesus offers each and every person the opportunity to begin again, wherever they are in life's journey, to lay aside all the guilt and shame and brokenness and hurt, and to take up a new vocation, a holy calling in Christ Jesus our Lord. To become their best God-given selves, to pursue the dream that God has for them. God's good purposes for God's people. To follow Jesus in His life-giving way. If we're to be about the things that Jesus was about, and if we're going to live our lives fishing for people the way we've been called and commanded to do, then we have to reclaim a healthy sense of urgency that tells us that everyone who matters to God has to matter to us. This is not a gift, friends, that we get to keep for ourselves. Discipleship is about trusting that Christ is with us in the boat, and because that is so, we can push from the shore, let down our nets, and trust Him with the results. And I want to be clear, fishing for people is not about us standing in self-righteous judgment of other people. It's not about beating them over the head with a Bible and saying, you better get your life in order or else. It's rather about confessing our own sin and shortcomings and then offering our lives humbly to God to do with them whatever God will. And that means being urgent about Christ's call to fish for people. And this is tough for many of us, maybe for some of you, because we've lived our lives in the church thinking that what it means to be a disciple of Jesus is that we become a part of the church, and then we spend most of our times serving Jesus in the church. Discipleship has essentially been reduced over the past 100 years or so to becoming a member of a Christian congregation, attending a small group of some sort, and then serving on a committee. God help us. Committees. Yeah, boy, committees. And while that was a fairly effective model for church for about the past 100 years or so, it is no longer effective. And it was never the model that Jesus gave us. Jesus never speaks about the church as a destination to which you go. He never calls the church a place to which you go. Rather, the church is a mission, God's mission for saving the world. Rick Doty, after the 8:45 service this morning, said, and this is beautiful, he said, "Worship, coming to church on Sundays, that's the halftime speech." Isn't that brilliant? I told Rick I'd give him credit for it. He said it wasn't his idea. I said, "That's okay. Most of my good ideas are not my ideas either. So we're in good company." Church is coming to worship is the halftime speech for all the stuff you've done before and all that will come after. Jesus calls us to be fearless, to have a heart for each and every one, because they matter to God. Somewhere along the way, we started focusing more on ourselves and inwardly than we did on the world around us. And we said to those outside the church, "We're here. The lights are on. If you want to come in and join us, that's fine. If you don't, that's good too." But that's not what Jesus has in mind for us. You know, in the New Testament, he had 132 interactions with people. 132 different interactions between Jesus and different individuals or different groups of people. 6 of those interactions occurred in the temple. Now listen to this. 6 in the temple, 4 in a synagogue, and the remaining 122 interactions occurred outside the walls of the building, where Jesus ate with people, and prayed with people, and listened to people, and shared God's love with people. It's not that the conversations and interactions we have here don't matter. They do matter. They're vital to our growth as Christians. It's just that if these are the only conversations we have, then the body is essentially talking to itself. And Jesus wants us fearlessly and urgently and passionately to have a heart for and a desire to share God's love with anyone who might think they could never step foot inside these walls. Fishing for people is about being willing to be our neighbor's friend. It's about believing and living as if every single one matters. It's about being willing to walk across the street or across the lawn to our neighbor's back door and getting to know them, or across the classroom or the office or wherever you find yourself throughout the week. It's about getting to know another person well enough so that when God opens a door, you have the opportunity to actually say something meaningful about God's love. It's about being willing to listen to their stories before we tell them our story. It's about, you know, doing something as silly as saying, "Do your kids drive you crazy? Like mine do?" And they say yes. We say, "Well, let me tell you about this place called Boone United Methodist Church and this guy named Andy Ellis and this thing called youth ministry where your kids can go and they won't drive you crazy for an hour or two. And they might meet Jesus. And who knows what God will do with them once God gets hold of them." Simple things like that. Just simply being willing to take a risk to push out into the deep, to unfold those nice, clean little nets that you are so concerned about keeping nice and neat and clean, and one more time letting them down and trusting Jesus to do whatever Jesus will do with them. Even if we're inconvenienced, even if it costs something, even if it scares you to death. Because friends, look how far God was willing to go to fish for us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Christ, we are so grateful for who you are and that we matter to you. Fill us with your Spirit, a spirit of passion and energy and urgency to leave it all behind and follow you wherever you might lead.